I sense an awesome moving of the Holy Spirit, and I see His countenance resting on your face. I know that there are angels hovering all around us, for the presence of the Lord is in this place. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him call. I search for peace among the shadows, dark and lonely, gave up on finding that strong and lasting love. I tasted all the things that sin could think of to offer me, but today I feast on manna from above. He is here, hallelujah.
Thank you, Morgan, for playing that, and thank you, Miss Marjean. You blessed our hearts with that. And we're going to go ahead and put you down for November the 29th to sing. I was here when she recorded that. I recorded it for her, and we weren't able to play it in the old system, but I praise God we got a new system, new CD player, was able to play that. So, Miss Marjean, we love you, and your church is looking forward to the time that you and Jack are back with us. And now, I'm not joking tonight. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. You know, my heart is always full of the Word of God. Glenn can identify with this. I'm not only thinking about what I'm speaking on in Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but I also stay another series or two ahead. And I'm looking forward to what I'm doing now, but I'm looking forward to it's going to be some intimate teaching. I'm going to get down and we're going to open our Bibles and I'm going to teach you how to read your Bible to understand it, okay? And I'm looking forward to that. And I may do it on Sunday night because we have more here on Sunday night. And I'm looking forward to getting back into the Feast of the Lord, Miss Linda. The seven feasts Israel was to observe that pointed to the person and work of Christ. Well, four feasts have been accomplished, and the next one is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the rapture of the church. And we're looking forward to that. We'll be in that also. And then we're going to be looking in 1 Corinthians 15, the believer's future body, the believer's resurrected, glorified body. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be nothing like what you got now. Right? Amen. Are y'all happy about that? All right, okay. Some of you act like you like the body you got now, but it's going to be a resurrected, glorified body, and we're going to be—it's going to be awesome to be in our new body, in our new home. Okay, Matthew chapter 8, if you will. We're going through the book of Matthew on Sunday nights, and Jesus, our sovereign king, and we come to a section of scripture, chapter 8, verse 1, all the way to chapter 9, verse 38. And we're not going to preach all that tonight, but it's a segment dealing with 10 miracles by our Lord that Matthew records. And we're going to look at the first miracle that Matthew records in his gospel, and that was the healing of the leper. I'm going to call this little segment, Brother Glenn, when I go through a book, I like to break it up into segments, and it's like a little mini series when it's on. And we're going to call this segment, the truth behind the miracle. And as we look at this, we're going to see these 10 miracles. Now, they're not all in chronological order except for the last four. But as we begin tonight, I'm going to have a long introduction because this is an introduction for the next series of messages on these 10 miracles. Let's look at chapter 8, verse 1. If you will, if you can, stand in honor of God's word. We stand for the what? The flag, and we stand for the Word of God, right? Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Now, he just finished the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, 6, and 7, talking to his disciples. Now, the great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now, it's interesting about the healings of Jesus. Sometimes he touched people, sometimes he didn't. Sometimes he just spoke to them. Sometimes he used mud. I mean, it's just a variety of ways. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, this leprosy was cleansed. Now, underline that word, immediate. I don't know if you can write in your Bible and stand at the same time. But that word immediately, when Jesus, I would like to tell the TBN crew and the Praise the Lord crew and the Prosperity Gospel crew that when Jesus healed, it was immediately, it was instant, it was complete, and it was visible, right? Amen. There's a lot of things happening. We want to call it a miracle, but it doesn't meet the biblical qualifications. Right. It was instant, it was complete, and it was visible. And Jesus said unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. That's what they had to do, and offer up the gift being two birds, that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. Father, I pray as we open this text, if we begin this series on the healings of Jesus, help us not only just take them at first face value, but let's look behind. What is the message that our Lord wanted to get across? Who is he speaking to? What is the spiritual truth he wants us to know in each one of these healings? Sometimes we'll take one as tonight, other times we'll take two or three. But Lord, teach us about the healing ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and the miracle working ministry of our Lord. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Be seated if you will. First question we want to ask tonight is, why did our Lord perform miracles? Now, again, it's being taught in a lot of off-the-wall churches today. Jesus didn't just come to heal. He didn't just come to do miracles. There was a purpose for that. Well, I want to show you tonight that there are about four reasons why Jesus performed miracles. Number one, to show his compassion. To show his compassion. He wanted to meet human needs, and certainly he wants to do that. In fact, it's in the atonement. You know, by his stripes we are healed. He's talking about our spiritual healing. But also the atonement guarantees our physical healing, if not in this life, but in the next life, right? It guarantees we're going to heaven. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. So he is concerned for his people. He's concerned for the temporal well-being of people as well as their eternal happiness. You know, and I thought about that. I thought about many times when we do missions, we got this concept that we don't meet the physical and the spiritual, but true missions is we can't separate the ministry to the body and to the soul. We must minister to the whole person, right? As we go about and do that. So Jesus did it to show his compassion. The second reason why Jesus healed and worked miracles was to show his credentials. Was to show his credentials and prove to the nation of Israel that he was a long-awaited Messiah of Israel. He was the promised seed, if you will, of the Redeemer, the deliverer who would come to the nation of Israel. Now, the Old Testament told us and told the scribes and Pharisees this would be a miracle-working Messiah, right? But yet he did that, and yet they still rejected him. All the Old Testament prophecies spoke about himself. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 11, 1 through 5, referred to John the Baptist and all the Old Testament prophecies, right? Remember when he was walking on the road to Emmaus when the two disciples, after the resurrection, their eyes were blinded, they didn't recognize him, and they were so despondent and so discouraged, and Jesus began with Moses and all the way through Malachi and gave all the prophetic prophecies that he was the Messiah. Right? Remember that series he talked about, the Old Testament, like that? And then their eyes were opened. And then they said, did not our hearts burn within us? In fact, you know, I tell you what, when we get in the Word of God, our hearts ought to burn within us, right? And especially when we talk about how it's fulfilled in the Messiah. So these same signs and wonders that he did showed his credentials that he was the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And guess what? He took 12 men. One was a devil, really 11. He was replaced right before Pentecost. He took these men and gave them the gift of miracles and the gifts of healing as well. The signs of an apostle were what? 2 Corinthians 12:12. They would be able to do the same things that Jesus did. Those are signs of an apostle. Not you and I. They are signs of an apostle. They're not the signs of the old joker riding down the road on Cassidy Street. I just had an idea. There might have been one came by when the white van saying apostle so-and-so, right? Yeah. No, they're not an apostle. No. Now, in a sense, we're secondary apostles. We're sent. That's what the word means. We are sent. But we are not one of the 12 that had this special gift, right? And by the way, if we did, how come they're not down at the Black Funeral Homes? Now, how come they're not at Allen and Allen? How come they're not at Wooden Shiver? If I had the gift of healing, I wouldn't even be here tonight. I'd be down at in the hospital, right? There would be no COVID in Archibald Hospital when I got through with it, right? But these are specific signs just for the apostles. All those were to show his credentials that he was the Messiah. And then number three, I believe he worked miracles to show his power. He worked miracle to prove that he had power over disease. We'll look at that. Power over death. Power over the devils. Power over the devil and the demons. And power over his own creation, his own nature, right? You see, this is what we miss many times. Remember, Jesus was in the boat in a tempest, and the disciples were so afraid. And, you know, he calmed the sea. He spoke to it. And we many times talk about that and misapply it and spiritualize it, that he can calm the troubles in your life. But that's not, he was showing the fact that he was the creator, right? He was over everything that he created. So he healed to show his power over disease and death and devil and demons and nature. And then lastly, and this is what we're going to be looking at in these 10 miracles, he healed and he worked miracles to show his message. Along with compassion, yes, credentials and power, he also did it because there's a spiritual truth behind every miracle, behind every healing that our Lord did. And he wanted to, especially the book of John is good at this. Remember the seven sign miracles? Because he always had the miracle because there was a special revelation that he wanted to give the people, right? And so we're going to go deeper in this study of these 10 healings and 10 miracles to show the sermon in action, if you will. And we're going to be looking at what's really behind these miracles, okay? Now, you ready to go with me? Miracle number one? Let's look at it. Miracle number one in just a moment. What was the response of the nation of Israel to him? He came and did everything what the Messiah would do, but they, what? Two reactions. Number one, the nation rejected him as a whole. They rejected him and all the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled. Now, before we go any further, I want you to go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 37. Now, I'll show you the second response of the nation in just a moment. John chapter 12, verse 37. I'll give you time to get there because I already have it written in my notes. John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? By the way, that's what they're going to say when he comes back at his second coming. And you see that in Isaiah 53. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore we should not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, and that should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw the glory, his glory, and spake to him. Now, this is a concept we want to ignore. You're not going to hear this from prosperity gospel preachers. But when men harden their heart toward Jesus, Jesus will harden his heart toward them, right? We see that concept with Pharaoh. We see it today. We see before our very eyes Romans chapter 1 being fulfilled, right? Because of the sin. What does it say? God gave them up. God gave them over. And then it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Folks, this is what you're seeing in the streets today. People who have a reprobate mind, right? They've been given over. God says, okay, this is what he's saying to America, okay? You want the same-sex marriage, you want the sin of homosexuality, you want to kill babies, I'm going to give you your sin, and that's going to be your judgment, right? We've been given up and been given over. And that is a concept. That's why they didn't believe. They hardened their hearts, so God hardened their heart, right? Now, there's a second reason why they rejected Messiah, and the religious leaders decided that Jesus was working for Satan. You know, unless you think that's too far-fetched, look at how they think about us, right? The religious leaders decided that Jesus was working for Satan, Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Beelzebub, they believed, was the supreme evil spirit. So they attributed, this is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is the true blasphemy in Matthew of the Holy Spirit is contributing the works of Christ to the devil, okay? And that's what they were doing. Am I not right there, Glenn? Amen. All right. You'll call on me to say if I'm wrong, correct me, and I'll call on you, and we'll wait and talk out of the service, okay? But one thing is for certain, Jesus did not perform miracles to get a crowd. He did not perform miracles to the crowd, unlike the prosperity gospel preachers today, right? He did not perform, by the way, they don't perform miracles. It's all satanic, or either it's all perception or deception. And Jesus did not never to perform a crowd. And by the way, he never charged money for healing, right? Never did. Peter and John, remember going to the temple? Silver and gold I have none, to the beggar. He said, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Now, so he never did a miracle to get a crowd. And time after time, Jesus instructed those whom he had healed not to talk about it, as he did with this leper. He didn't want people to trust in the miracle rather than in the word of God. Are you with me? There are people who are miracle chasers. They go from one church to another looking for something sensational, right? Whatever the newest fad is, they go over there. They cannot stand sound doctrine. So they're always looking for something sensational. And I know people like that, and you know people like that. They won't come to a New Testament church and be faithful, but they're always looking for the next thing, right? Now, these miracles in these chapters are recorded in three groups. Warren Wiersbe classifies them like this. Three of them are grace to the outcast. Leper was an outcast. We'll see the grace of God in his life. And then some of them are peace to the disturbed, people who are disturbed, and God gave them peace. And then the last group we're going to look at as we go through these 10 miracles are the restoration to the broken. Jesus heals the brokenhearted, right? And so we're going to be looking at these. Now, what can we learn from this healing of the leper? By the way, let me go ahead and say this. As we look at the first three, one tonight, two next week, grace to the outcast, lepers, Gentiles, and women were considered outcast by the Jewish people, especially the Pharisees, right? And these are the first three that Matthew records in his gospel. You know, in fact, if you do a little history, you'll find out that the Pharisees would pray every morning. They would say, I give thanks that I am a man and not a woman. I wonder what they'd pray today with all this going around, transvestites and all that kind of stuff. I give thanks that I'm a man and not a woman, a Jew and not a Gentile, a free man and not a slave. And they would actually pray that. Now let's look at the cleansing of the leper in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. I just read the text to you, and let's just look at it. This dreaded infection of leprosy forced the lepers to be separated, social outcasts, ceremonially unclean from other people around them. They would have to live apart from people. And they would go around in clothes of mourning, and they'd be hollering. They wouldn't want nobody to get close to them. They would holler out, unclean, unclean, because they didn't want to contaminate nobody. You know, if a Jew touched a dead body, they were ceremonially unclean. In the same way with a leper. So they would go around saying, unclean, unclean, but not this leper. He looked at Jesus, and what did he do? He had an opposite reaction. He ran up to Jesus, violated the code that lepers are supposed to go by, and this is evidence of his great faith. Can't you imagine a leper calling on the healing ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ to heal him? Now, leprosy was a slow progressing and curable disease. The disease is characterized by sores and scabs and white shining spots beneath the skin. The limbs of the leopard would become infectious. They would rot off. There would be nerve damage, and most of them would walk around with nubs, if you will, loss of their limbs. And guess what? Sin in the Bible is a picture. Leprosy is a picture of sin. Okay? Sin is deeper than the skin, right? That's what we used to say when Obama was in office. It's not a matter of skin, it's a matter of sin, right? Yeah. And so we would say that, but really, sin is deeper than the skin. This is how, I'm going to give you a short parallel between sin and leprosy. Now, again, man's problem is not skin deep. Man's problem goes all the way to the heart. And that's what sin does. It spreads. Just like leprosy spreads, sin spreads as well. It defiles and isolates, just like this leper. It defiled him. He was isolated, ceremonially unclean. He was separated. That's what sin does to us. It separates us from a holy God, right? And it is fit only for the fire. Guess what, people who, if they don't repent of their sins and believe in Jesus, guess what fire they're going to? Gehenna, the lake of fire, right? But Jesus Christ, when this leper run up to him, he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, heal me." And Jesus said, "I will." And Jesus touched the leper. That was a no-no. But you know, I think about that. Jesus touched the leper. He took his defilement upon himself, but yet he was not defiled. And the parallel with us with sin is, when Christ died for us on the cross, he who knew no sin was made sin, right? Jesus took our sin. He bore our sin, but he never was a sinner, right? So you see the parallel between leprosy and sin? And this is what Matthew is teaching us here. Christ took our sin, but he never became a sinner. There are people that actually teach, Brother Glenn, that Jesus became a sinner when he died on the cross. And then the TBN crew and the Prosperity Gospel crew, like Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Myers and others, believed that Jesus, because he became a sinner, it wasn't finished on the cross. He had to go to the real hell and suffer for our sins so that he could be reborn again, right? Folks, their problem is not a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Their problem is they are heretics because they're wrong about the atonement, right? I talked to an independent Baptist preacher the other day. He wasn't able to go to his church here in Thomasville because a little bit of COVID had broke out in their church. He said, "I stayed home and I listened to T.D. Jakes." And I said, "I want to see what this guy says." I said, "T.D. Jakes?" "Yeah." He said, "He's a great preacher. If I call his name, you know him. Not T.D. Jakes, but you know who I'm talking about. T.D. Jakes is a heretic.
Right.
He doesn't believe in the Trinity.
Right.
He doesn't believe in God the Father, God the Son, you know, all God at the same time. T.D. Jakes believes that in the dual modalism, they call it, there was never all three at the same time. The Father became the Son. There was no Father. The Son became the Spirit, and there's no Son. That will send a man to hell.
Right.
If you don't believe the right thing about the Trinity, and yet this Baptist preacher, independent preacher, thought that T.D. Jakes was a great preacher. I'm telling you. I don't know how I got off on that anyway. I forgot where I was going with that. But Christ did not become a sinner. He took our sin on the cross. And do you know, bearing the whole sins of the world, no wonder his heart burst. Right? I'm telling you, the leper did not question the ability of Jesus to heal. Great faith for a leper to come to Jesus. And he didn't say, "Unclean, unclean." He says, "I know you can heal me if you will." And he went to Jesus. And he exercised great faith. And I think about that with our sin. Certainly God could have left us in our, quote, leprosy, but he didn't. He showed us grace and mercy, didn't he? Our God is willing to save. Our Lord is willing to save. The Bible says that all men, he desires all men to be saved, and God is not willing that any should perish. But yet many didn't come to him. You know why people don't come to Christ? It's not a head problem, it's a heart problem. They love their sin and they love their self more than they love Christ. They will not surrender their life to Christ and have a king over their life other than themselves. And they love their sin. So Jesus, interesting here, Jesus commanded this man to go tell nobody else. You know, but go to the priest like they were. Jesus went by the law, right? You go to the priest and be declared unclean, and then he was able to be ceremonially clean again and go around people. Now, this ceremony that he told this priest to go to, we won't read it for the sake of time tonight, but you do some study in Leviticus 14, 1 through 57. There you have the regiment that the priest goes by to pronounce this man clean. And he was clean. Immediately Jesus said, "You're made whole," right? He was clean. Now, In Leviticus 14, 1 through 57 is a beautiful picture of the work of our Lord on the cross for our sins. You can read it. Let me just summarize it for you, okay? Two birds he had to present to the priest, okay? That was the offering. Now, the bird slain pictures the death of Christ. The bird released pictures his resurrection. And you can read it in Leviticus. Putting the bird into a jar pictures the incarnation when Christ took a human body that he might die for us. The application of the blood to the ear and the thumb, toe, illustrates the need for personal faith in his death. The oil on the blood reminds us of the Spirit of God, who enters the person who trusts the Savior. So he had to go. Leviticus 14, 1 through 57 is a picture of the work of Christ from the book of Leviticus. And by the way, that's where the seven feasts come from, we're going to look at in Leviticus 23. But Jesus told this man to go tell nobody, right? Be quiet. It wasn't his time yet. But Mark 1:45 says he went and told that Jesus had healed him. And it forced Jesus to leave that city because the crowds became too great. You know, I think about that. Jesus told them not to tell nobody, and they went and told. And Jesus tells us to tell people, and we don't go it. Don't do it, right? Think about that. Now, why a leper? This is the truth behind the miracle. Why a leper? What was the message in healing this leper? Well, again, the nation of Israel was a picture of a defiled nation with leprosy. Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 5 and 6. So the spiritual implications of this miracle are clear. The Messiah had come to Israel with power to heal the nation of its illness, of its sin sickness. He presented all his credentials. He did everything the Messiah was supposed to do. But the nation was not looking for a sin deliverer. They were looking for a national deliverer. They wanted a national deliverer from Rome, not a personal savior for their sin. Right? And they saw it right here in the Messiah. And Jesus was showing the nation of Israel, I have your sin sickness taken care of if you'll just come to me. And they rejected. Isn't it any wonder that the first person he healed in Matthew was a leper, right? Now, no doubt, healing a leper was a rare event, right? That's why he healed this leper for the nation of Israel. Going even a next mile to say, look, I'm the Messiah. As I studied and looked at it historically and looked it up, these priests should have been alerted because in the Old Testament, there was one other Jew that was healed from leprosy, and that was Miriam, right? And you see in Numbers chapter 12, verse 10. So they should have been alerted right away. This was very something unusual, right? But they didn't. They just ignored it. Like they wouldn't even go to Bethlehem and see if this king had been born, right? So what a reaction, right? And look at people today, how they reject him. He rose from the grave on the third day. He fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, right? There's no way a man could have done that on his own. This Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And he proved that. But they just deny it. Jesus told the leper to go obey the law in this manner. So the healing of a leper was a dramatic place to begin because there's no record of a Israelite. Now, I didn't say nothing about the Syrian, Naaman. There's no record of an Israelite leper being healed in the entire history of the nation of Israel except for Mary. Miriam. That right there was a message to Israel that this is the Messiah. But yet they rejected him. Do y'all see the truth behind the miracle? Right? And we're going to be looking at the other nine just like this. We're not going to look at superficial over them. We're going to look at what was Jesus teaching in these miracles. Right? So all these people today that are looking for a sign, they're looking for a sensation, they're looking for a miracle, they go from this church to that church looking for this, and they're missing the message. Right? Father, no invitation tonight. We thank you for the healing power of our Lord and the miracle working of our Lord. And And as we look at these 10 miracles, our hearts are already blessed as we went deep into the Word of God and saw the message that really comes across in these miracles. So, Father, we're looking forward to this. We're looking forward to Wednesday night as we begin the doctrine of angels, as we look at the systematic theology. And then as we get through with angels, we'll begin to look at the doctrine of the church, ecclesiology. And as thank you for blessing us in the sound doctrine and the systematic theology. But my heart is burdened because our church should be full on Wednesday nights, because as I said this morning, it's all about knowing the Word of God, having experienced it experientially, and then walking by faith. How can we know those things if we don't come learn those things? And so, Father, I thank you again for the message tonight. I thank you for what you taught me this week, and I thank you for what you're going to teach us in the coming weeks. Protect us as we go our way today. Send someone in our path, or we go look for someone, Lord, that is a divine appointment, someone that needs a word, the gospel, a word of encouragement, a word of rebuke, a word of exhortation, a word of warning. Help us to be your agents. Help us to go and tell what you have done. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. All right.